You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
look up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Yeah, right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I'm one of your hosts, Martin Bruno, and with me today are...
Adam Bishop.
And Tony White.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Good.
Fantastic.
We're recording this after Adam and I just went on a little bit of a comic book jaunt out east. East? West? East? East.
I insisted that we find out what you guys bought today, so that was yesterday. I expected good things. I had bought a little bit this week, but I had not been on a big trip like you guys had. So I was looking forward to seeing what you have. I actually went to take a little short trip myself today, and then I found myself lacking in motivation at the last minute.
I don't blame you. I'm semi-sorting out my piles into various piles, and I think I've got it all straightened out here.
I didn't sort anything.
Oh my gosh, there's just so much.
There's for so you, much. So much.
So, we decided to head east to visit.
Wait. They're not paying for advertising.
Yeah.
Don't give away our shopping spots.
To a place in Pickering, to a place in whatever. Yeah, maybe.
I'm seriously brain farting here. There's a fellow that comes up to the Lakefield Flea Market and displays there all the time with some toys and stuff like that. And him and his partner actually have a store in a rundown mall in Belleville.
Nice.
So we decided to go there. But of course, you know, if you're driving all the way to Belleville, you got to stop everywhere you can.
I'm not sure how far Belleville is from you.
It is
it's like an hour.
It's one of those things where you got to kind of go down then across or do all sorts of like weird country roads to go diagonally.
So
it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours on a bad day, hour on a good day.
What?
So it's not that bad. It's not that bad at all. And Belleville's on the east side of Trenton, where CFB Trenton is. And I was regaling Adam a little bit too much about my air cadet days where I was stationed at CFB Trenton here or there once in a while in the summers and stuff. So there's a bunch of haunts in the area that I've known and stuff like this. So we kind of decided to visit this comic shop that's in the mall. And another podcast I listened to, Brian, a guy I know from Whitby, big in the Mego action figure community. He did a video about a place he found in a small town called Colburn, which is about halfway. And it's just a teeny tiny little town. It's got a couple of antique stores in it. And he found some really cool stuff in one of the stores. So knowing him, he bought out all the really good stuff before he put a video up, right? So we kind of were expecting not to find a heck of a lot. And we did all right in that store too. And there was another antique store right beside it. So yeah, we just kind of hit a couple of antique stores. And then in Belleville itself, we hit 3 or 4 stores of various types. And it kind of got like a little crazy in one of them.
Right at was that the second last store or the last store?
The last store,
yeah,
with the video games, we kind of went nuts there. Yeah, I blame Adam for the whole thing.
My God, that video game store had a Nintendo 64 controller. Martin, how much did they want for it?
$799.
Yeah,
for an N64 controller.
It's the Donkey Kong banana one, so it's yellow with like little banana things on the bottom of it. But yeah, they want 800.
So it looks like a banana. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a bunch of bananas. Yeah. It was, oh, like it's a nice controller, but oh no, no, no. Their pricing was insane for video games.
Well, I mean, in our, in our terminology, it's probably a low print run, right? So
yeah, well, exactly.
That controller was like definitely a limited edition controller. By limited, I mean that's the first one I've ever seen in person, but it's not $800. Like, no.
Yeah, I've never seen that design that you described at all.
So I don't know if you want to go through everything or anything, or Adam wants to go through. So
I can do a quick little stack.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Let's start with your stack.
My first purchase was it like just a bunch of Max comics that were two in one bag. So it was technically a buck a piece. So I got 20 Max issues that I didn't have. So yeah, the Max for all you Max heads.
Yeah the comics were $2 and some of them were double bagged, two issues in a bag. And she counted them as $2.
Yeah.
So a whole bunch of them were $1 each.
So I'm sitting there being like, I'm not going to say anything because I assume it's like per bag. It says $2 each. So if it's in a bag, that's $2, I guess. Like I feel bad, but at the same time, like it's the Max. Nobody cares.
No, no. I went through a bunch of boxes today doing some organizing. I found a bunch of like in my boxes that I'm going to be selling, a bunch that were multi comics to one single bag from anywhere from 2 to 4. And I was like, that would have sucked. That would have been my fault, not anybody buying off me.
Mm-hmm. It's just a perfect example why absolutely multiple bags and multiple comics one bag is not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. And yet there's a contingency down there in the good old US of A. Whenever you get on the forums, they're like, I've had my comic books 7 to a bag for the last 36 years and they're just fine.
I don't use magazine bags.
Yeah, I don't need a backboard. I got comics in my comics as backboards.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you're on glue, buddy. I don't know what you're talking about. You should just stop. But anyways, yeah.
So you filled a bunch of gaps in your Max collection is what you're saying.
I have all of the Maximized trade paperbacks, which is only 3 of them. So it's the complete series redone, recolored. I think they redid some text. Like it's just the remastered version. And I don't have the original. So I'm like, I like to get both of them just so I have like, I can compare and contrast them. I don't know. But yeah, I got a bunch of Maxes that I needed.
And for $1 a piece.
Oh yeah. And I would never pay more than $2 for a Max issue. Not that I don't love the Max, but $2 is, that's fair.
How can you complain?
Until the movie comes out, then it's a key. Oh, speaking of the Max, what was it? Cool? Was it Cool Spot, Martin, we went to? We're advertising Cool Something, the comic book store. He had I Before E both on the wall together, like 1 and 2. And I go to Martin's like, oh, that's the first appearance of the Max. And the guy's just like, you know what that is?
Yeah. He's like, I was going to put a buck on it and put it in the buck bin until I figured out what it is.
And he wants 160 for both of them.
No.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, you like that? I'm like, I have issue one at home. I got it from a $2 bin. So, which is the same thing.
The Max is not a like no Max. The entire series plus the first appearance isn't worth $80, let alone 160.
Like, I have the Max DVD for the cartoon show. I have the figure. Like I love the Max, but he's not worth anything. I'll give you. I was gonna make like one Max is worth 5 pits, though. To be fair.
Now we're going down a rabbit hole of pits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
I have that team up.
I guess not much has happened with the Max since the cartoon, eh?
Oh, yeah. There was that Batman Max Arkham series that sucked. I didn't like. Marty, what did you get?
At the same store that Adam got those, we found a spinner rack. And on the spinner rack...
Multiple spinner racks. Everyone has spinner racks.
Yeah, for $2 each, I managed to nab a whole bunch of Canadian-priced G.I. Combats. So nice. I got like
feels they're in good shape.
Yep, they're in great shape. I turned down a whole bunch that were not. There were some that were just a little bit off for me. I got a couple of Weird War Tales. They were in the pile as well. Trying to get that with the reflection. One Sergeant Rock, and then a whack of what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4 GI Combats. Dollar Combats.
Nice.
For $2 each. And the store is really neat. It's retro collectibles And there's all sorts of stuff there. He had G.I. Joe stuff. He had He-Man. He had knockoff He-Man wrestlers. He had Laserdisc players. We found a bunch of Laserdiscs and stuff. And yeah, just a whole bunch of stuff, except no Laserdisc of Hackers.
No, I already have the Hackers on Laserdisc. I wanted the player so I could like watch it, but it was $150 plus 10 free Laserdisc movies. Like, I'm good.
And right, I'm sure you could have negotiated that. I'm sure you could have.
Yeah, $50, none of your free Laserdisc, please. Just a player. That's all I wanted.
Store right beside him was another store that said antiques, and you open the door and right away it's like, oh, there's the candles, there's the jars, there's the castor oil cans. This is gonna be one of those antique stores. Excuse me. But the further back you got, the geekier the stuff was, until we actually like got into a section and there was like a bunch of long boxes there and a bunch of comics there. I'm not sure what Adam got at that store. I got Detective Comics. So I got a whack of Batman Detective Comics, like the later run.
That was the store I got the Max from, because I didn't get anything from the first store. That was the Max store.
So I got a stack of Detective Comics from that store, $2 a piece. And like Adam said, some of them are doubled. So there's two books in a bag.
So are those the post 52 ones?
This is 2007. So just pre New 52. So
no, I mean post 52 weeks, like the 1 year later ones.
Yeah. Okay. This is issues. What is it? 818 to 832.
Yeah, this the ones that are 1 year later probably say it right on the cover too. They have like a little spot that says 1 year later on the, one does, the first few.
A couple of them do. And there's the little mini run by Paul Dini is in here.
Oh,
so that'll be nice. Fun. Some great comics. And I was not, even today, I don't read Detective. I read Batman. So there's the Paul Dini issues. You know, and they're in great shape.
Covers.
They're great shape for $2. They're great shape for $2 each.
Yeah. You know,
fantastic covers. And like I said, it's not, for whatever reason, I kind of decided I was going to read Superman and Batman, not action, just because I just didn't see the point in buying, you know, two Superman issues a month and two Batman issues a month. So even as a little kid, I wasn't a big Action Comics or DC or Detective Comics fan. But in the ensuing years, I've tried to like fix that and get as many detectives as I could. So that was a really nice little pile to add to my run.
I remember a time when you couldn't go a week without seeing a Superman comic or a Batman comic on the rack each and every week. Like, they just came out weekly. They had like numbers in the corners or whatever, like the little Superman triangles. Like they came out weekly.
Well, the Superman triangle fiasco, I hated that. I just couldn't stand that. But it was Adventures of Superman, Superman, Action Comics, and I think it was a title, what was it called? Man of Steel?
Superman, Man of Steel. Yeah.
And there was, one a week. And they had little triangles, and in the triangle was a number, and you were supposed to follow the triangle. So DC literally expected you to buy all four issues to get the single story. And it's like, that's a lot. Just call the weekly book, release Action Comics weekly or release Superman weekly, and just call the weekly book. But they kind of played that game, and it just got confusing because I didn't get all four of them. And I just did not read Superman during that era. I hated that.
Just make them two books and like double the thickness and raise the price a little.
Yeah. Like it wasn't for me.
I was doing that for a while back in the 90s, 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. I was doing that. It got to be a lot. Like at that time, you know, comics weren't, you know, $3.99, $4.99. And I was dumping $30-$40 a week.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a significant amount in the 90s.
It's a bit much. I mean, during the New 52, you know, Batman was every 2 weeks, Detective was every 2 weeks, Superman was every 2 weeks, Action was every 2 weeks. So you had just about the same volume of books during the New 52, but they weren't intertwined story-wise. You could just get Batman twice a month and follow the story. You could just get Detective. So
it's always hated crossovers that forced you to buy comics you didn't buy. Still do.
The bane of my existence. I remember. I'm trying to remember. I do remember. Maybe I don't remember. What was it? Guardians of the Galaxy. Black Vortex, I think it was. There was some series, not the Eternals, probably the Inhumans. It was the Inhumans. So they relaunched the Inhumans book. And It was Inhumans? No.
I think around that time it was Inhumans. They were really pushing Inhumans, and they had rolled back on the mutants, and the Inhumans were the mutants of the time. Remember, they released that Terrigen gas, and it was floating around the planet and stuff, and I think Vortex was taking place either just at that time or just before that time.
I think it was Vortex, yeah. And they had just released the series. It was beginning to get some momentum. The characters were doing a certain thing. They were becoming it was a storyline. It was beginning to gel. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, everybody's evil during this crisis. So all of a sudden the main, I think it was Medusa, was evil, if I'm not getting the series mixed up. And it totally interrupted the flow. Like issues 1 through 6 was fantastic. You're looking forward to 7, 8 is now this crossover. And from 8 on, it was like a totally different book. It was like, it just derailed. And it was like, what is this?
That was the Guardians era where they had Kitty Pryde, right?
Yeah. 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 I was reading a lot of the Marvel space comics at that time. It was is that just after New 52 or just before?
It was in that era, 2010, 2012, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Cause just before New 52 hit, 90% of my pull list was Marvel at the time. And a lot of it was big, like Nova, Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, all of those space books, and I really enjoyed that. But yeah, I mean, they're about to do it again. Like the Robin and the Nightwing and Batman are all crossing over into some kind of a Deathstroke Inc., Deathstroke War, or whatever they're calling it. And I'm just like, I get one of these a month. I'm not following this. Maybe they'll put it together in one trade paperback, but
2015, it said. I thought it was earlier than that.
2015, really?
Black Vortex? I just looked it up. It said Black Vortex is a 2015 comic book storyline published by Marvel Comics.
That's so that'll be right after the New 52 7 years. Derailed.
That was when they were trying to just cancel mutants, but they were like, we're never going to get our mutant movies back, so let's pump up the Inhumans. Because
I don't know if it's true.
They gave up.
I don't know if it's true, but the rumors were that Ike was so upset over not being able to get back the rights to Fantastic Four and the X-Men that he literally had like any murals in the Marvel offices that had Fantastic Four or X-Men painted over, any art that was on the walls, X-Men, Fantastic Four, pulled down. You're not allowed to have a Fantastic Four or an X-Men book. We don't want to promote the other companies' movie IPs when we're trying to get the MCU off the ground and all that stuff. So
they buried them.
They buried the mutants in the Fantastic Four hard.
They didn't. I don't think they released many toys. Like even for, I think it was X-Men 3. Like there's like, don't do X-Men toys. Like even movie toys, like nobody did them.
No, they crushed it all. They were just like, no, we're not going to, see if we can force Fox and Sony to give us back our characters. And it didn't work.
Yeah, that's when they were trying to put out the rest of the X-Men, the newer X-Men movies. What was the last one they did? Apocalypse?
Dark Phoenix. And then New Mutants,
And then on the other side, that Fantastic Four movie with the trans-dimensional thing. Yeah, yeah, they were trying to bury them.
What's the name of the producer / director of that? Was it Josh Trank?
Sounds familiar. Couldn't tell you for sure.
And he kind of like derailed the whole thing with like some temper tantrums or something?
Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
I know that the Fantastic Four script was Chronicle 2's script reworked, the Max Landis movie.
Awful.
But I like Chronicle, like the original one, but and then
the studio got like the insurance guys got into it and finished the film or something. I don't know. It was a big disaster anyway.
Tony, what did you get? Because you had stuff too.
Yeah.
Well, you guys had bigger stacks than that. I thought you.
I know.
We can keep going. That's just cold. We kept driving.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me just throw up a couple of them. You guys saw these, but the other people didn't. That are listening. This week I went to Valley Village and I picked up. I had like a 30% off coupon for books and media, and it was packed around the media section, so I didn't even go looking for like box sets of stuff. It was just too much. But the comic section. That was just a bunch of old people walking by me as I was looking at it, basically complaining about me being in their way. Like one lady was so mad, she just stood there with her cart next to me for quite a while, trying to get my attention around. So she could go. Yeah, she wanted to go through me. She didn't want to go around me. There were like other people a little further down the aisle. Like they weren't blocking her. She could have gone around me, but I think she was like, why are you still here in my way? That's okay. She eventually moved because I got comfortable. So I got Avengers number one. I forget what year this is, but it's I always when I get stuff, I use my brand new labeler on it.
Oh,
my wife got me a fancy brother labeler for Christmas, and I've been using the hell out of it. So yeah, this one's the first appearance of Aleph. Eden Fezzi becomes Manifold, and you know, first appearance of Abyss and Ex Nihilo, and cameo of cameo of fourth Captain Universe, and the first cameo appearance of the first human Smasher. Justice League 30, which is the second cameo appearance of Jessica Cruz,
right,
who later becomes a Green Lantern. And the
she's supposed to be in the Green Lantern Corps TV show. So
yeah, we were talking about that the two episodes ago. Yeah, that's definitely one of the, there's like three of these. There's two cameos and then a full appearance. And the first cameo is in Green Lantern Corps, if I'm not mistaken. The second cameo is here. And then the first full appearance is in, I want to say Green Lantern itself, but I don't know the issue numbers. Then I got Thor 68, Legacy 570. I think that's from 2011 or something. It's 12. I don't know. It's a while ago. And that's the first appearance of Magni Thorson as a baby, the son of Thor and Amora from another universe.
I love baby appearances.
I know. or X-23 in a vial.
Oh my god.
Speaking of X-23, I picked up this is the last issue of one of her series. The cover is cool as hell. I really like the cover.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, I think that's Kalman's. Yeah, that's Kalman. That's Kalman Andruszewski. Isn't that a great cover?
It
Kalman's
is.
Super. Nice. He's super talented. He's I love some of his stuff. Anyways, but that's just the final issue of the series. It was a lower print run, but not by any stretch a low print run. It was like 20,000.
Oh, yeah. So,
but the cover is sick. It's that's probably the most expensive book in there, even though it's not really a super key of any show of any sort. And I've got other stuff that I picked up this week, but we'll come back around to that. What else you got, Adam?
Oh, okay. Let me see. I picked up Vanguard Illustrated number one. It was $5. And this was, this was in my CLZ wish list. And I don't remember why it was in there. There's a reason, which I have to read them. But I think I had like issue 3, 4, 5, 6, like from one store. I'm like, sweet. And I saw this and I was like, I have to grab it. And then another book that I didn't even know existed was Turbo Kid, Apple Floss Adventure, which is based off the movie.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know there was a comic book series. And this is issue 2. So now I have to try and find issue 1 and any other ones, and I'm never going to find them. And this, who published this? Behemoth. I don't know who that is.
I don't think they're around anymore.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And then I grabbed this for $12 because it's the only issue I'm missing from issue 1 to 75, which I was collecting, which was X-Force number 11, first appearance of Domino.
Oh, that's great.
Like real, it was only $12, and everywhere else I've seen is like 20, and I'm like, I don't want to pay that much.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those. I think I've got the newsprint and two of the direct editions.
Yeah,
I picked them up in comic collections, not on purpose. Okay. But they're great.
Yeah, I just needed to complete a run, like literally that one issue of the 75 issue run. I only want to collect up to 75. So I was like, I might as well. Now all I need is New Mutants Annual number 2 and maybe in 98 New Mutants, not a facsimile, which I could care less about.
I had two. I can only find one.
I was going to say, I'm not sure. Like, give me a 0.5. If like that's how much I care. I don't care about Deadpool whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just unfortunate he's on covers.
in the weird comic book, since you pulled out your Vanguard, in the same place I found Star Slayer number 1, which is the first appearance of Star Slayer, but also has the very first appearance of the Rocketeer in a one-page promotional ad. So if you're into that whole fake first appearances, this is his fake first appearance. And I looked but could not find, but issue two is his actual first appearance in a story. So oh, I wow. thought maybe I could find Rocketeer number two, because they had Star Slayer like one through like seven or eight. Yeah, no, somebody already cherry picked two out of there. I was close, but no cigar. But I got the, I think I have the trade paperback of Star Slayer, or I have Swashbuckler. Yeah, I'd have to look. But this is one of those series that I want to reread. I haven't read it in, oh, I don't know. What year did it come out? 80? Doesn't say.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was anything special. I bought two separate collections, and there was a number one in each of them. So I got two of the Star Slayer number ones, and I was like, garbage. And I would look at it like, oh, it's like $15.
Yeah, yeah.
$20, something like that. So,
yeah. There's the people out there that buy into that whole, you know, oh, first appearance in an ad. That's valuable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Marty, I forgot to mention those maxes. Four of them are newsstand. The other six are not. Nice. I put them all as newsstand in CLZ. Just to let you know.
Ah, screw it. It's all newsstand.
It's because yeah. I had to. Here's the thing. When you add stuff to your wish list, do you add newsstand and direct edition, or do you just pick one and be like, you know what? I'm just going to convert them all to in my collection. And that's what I did. I'm not going to sit there and go through it. I don't care.
Well, when we first started using CLZ, there was no designation between the two, and nobody really cared. So what I'm finding is like a lot of books that I have entered in there all of a sudden are like issue, you know, 1B, and I'm like, what? And I have to double check. I'm like, no, mine's got a UPC code. It's not B, it's A, and I got to change it and stuff, because they just kind of arbitrarily grabbed the CLZ ID and said, okay, this one's going to be newsstand because the picture's the newsstand, and this one's going to be, you know. So I got a whole bunch of ones that are wrong, and I just don't care. I don't care if it's newsstand. Same thing with Canadian prices. I'm sure 90% of my own personal books that I bought are Canadian newsstand, a Canadian price variants. I don't care. You know, if I find it, I'll make the change, but I'm not going to go through my entire collection and you know, retroactively go through and double check. If I'm there and I happen to catch it, fine, but I'm not going to redo it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, most of these GI Combats I picked up were Canadian prices too. I guess I don't know. I just don't think it's that big of a deal because I'm Canadian. Maybe the Americans think it's cooler because of a lower print run or whatever. I'm like, I'm not going to pay a premium. I paid a premium at the newsstand when I bought it.
Yeah, I read an article about the Canadian stuff a while ago, but I read an article on the UK price variants as well. There are there are very few of those that are strictly the UK price on the cover.
And there's a whack of, I won't say hatred, but complete and utter, oh, I don't want any Pence variants in my collection. Yeah. I don't want a Pence variant. And it's all from like old fogies like me that just don't realize just how low those print runs were.
Yeah.
At the exact same time off the same machine that they were printing the US version. So it's like,
yeah, no difference. They're the same one, same print run, same time, same machines.
Yeah, like literally
they're all shipped out together.
Literally a variant, not a reprint. For the longest time, everybody, even the Whitman books, everyone's like, oh, Whitman's are reprints. It's like, no, they were printed at the exact same time in the same factory, just with a different cover. That's a variant. It's not a reprint. It's slowly changing, just like the Canadian price lists. The Pence variants are beginning, you know, people are realizing that they're worth a lot more. Guys are getting all crazy and horny over seventh print runs because you know it's less than the first print run. And when I was a kid, nobody wanted a reprint. Nobody wanted a second print. Nobody wanted a seventh print. Nobody wanted
Whitman. That means you missed out the first time around.
Yeah, exactly.
You're too slow.
The one store we went to had the New Mutants graphic novel there, and I was like, oh, their first appearance. And as I'm pulling it down, like, printed on the cover says, like, I think it says sixth print, and I was like, I don't know. I slid it back on there.
I think they've gone to ninth prints on that. I don't know if it's going any higher than that, but I'm pretty sure I've seen a ninth. I know I've seen a seventh. I think I had one at one point.
Is that the magazine size graphic novel that they had? Yeah, I've got with one, the black cover, but I don't know what
this. It's gonna say right on the cover. That's,
you guys chat amongst yourselves.
There you go. Here, I'll go again with what I have. Okay. I have a little bit. I bought some Dark Horse Presents. The only reason why I grabbed these three, and I actually got them from? Did I get them from a different place? No, I think it was from the same place. Anyways, they are three issues that feature the Dirty Pair, which is an anime.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Series. So yeah, I saw them. It's like, oh, I hope there's not more of these, because if there's like a fourth issue, I'm gonna be pissed. Because that's what always happens. Yeah. You buy one comic or a couple of them, and it's like you're missing some. You're not gonna find them. You can go on eBay and get them for $25 shipping from the US or like $5 from Germany. It's up to you. Marty's back.
Yeah, I had a couple just across on the other side of the room, and I wanted to look if I had the New Mutants, but I don't. It's Cloak and Dagger, nice. Mighty Thor. And fortunately, because I saw this in one of the stores and I was going to buy it for $5, Dreadstar. So I guess I already own it. It's been a mistake. But yeah,
I love them. I collect them. I've got a huge stack, like a big stack of them now. But I've got multiples of some of them too, like the Thor one. Thor, I have like a couple of them. But one of them I got signed. In Montreal by Shooter, and a Dazzler that I get some. I love them. I don't know. I just like having them. I don't think I've ever cracked the spine on any of them. I've read them before, so the ones that I bought to replace all the ones I sold previously, I don't think I've ever cracked the spine on them. They're awesome. I have the Canadian price variant of that that New Mutants one and the regular American version. They're the first prints. I kept both of them.
I sold off my
fourth. I think it was a 7-print.
Yeah, I have a box in my storage locker full of magazine-sized comics that is not in my CLZ that I should really put in there, because I know I've been, whenever I see one, I'll like grab it. And it seems like it's one of those books that hasn't really jumped in value as much as you know, some of the other segments. For example, you know, the treasury-sized books, these are just skyrocketing in price. They used to be able to get just them all over the place, cheap as borscht. Nobody cared, and the prices really jumped up. Like usually they're about $50 each, you know, US, if you're looking on eBay and stuff.
That first one, that first Superman Spider-Man, I think with the white background and they're on a tower, that one's like $150.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, speaking of, I did pick this one up in Belleville. This is the Spider-Man and Superman. I don't know, I can't remember, is this a reprint of the white one? Or is this a whole new story?
I think it's a different story, because I think the other one had Paris. No, that's Parasite in the background, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I just can't remember if it's another story or it's a reprint of the original. Because I had Batman and the Hulk as a kid. And I had the white Spider-Man, Superman. And I've never even cracked this open because I just picked it up today. So I don't know what's in it. I'll have to open it up and see.
Feel like they're two different stories, but hopefully you'll be able to tell me about it next week.
Yeah. Well, you guys talk amongst yourselves, I'll crack it over. But yeah, every time I see one and it's reasonably priced, I'll pick it up. But I've noticed these treasuries are really jacking up in value and stuff like this.
That's fortunate. I bought a collection a couple of months ago that just had a huge stack of them. Multiples though, like I don't know, it was like old store stock or something. So I had like multiple Howard the Ducks, and I had several of the Conans, but I had a couple of the Conans were the same issue. They're in decent shape. I just don't know if I'm going to sell them. I get all this stuff with all the ideas of the plans to resell it, to recoup what I've spent on these collections. And I'm like, no, I think I'm an Orange Lantern. I think I'll hold on to everything now.
Yeah. I don't think this is Reaper. I think this is a whole new story.
But I was thinking it was, but
I absolutely 100% remember this panel where Peter Parker is running out of his apartment and he drinks spoiled milk and spits it out. Like I completely and totally remember that just now as a mental flashback. So I must have had this as a kid. I must have read.
They did a digest size one of it.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it could have been the digest. Digests have jumped up in price too.
I know. I can't get digest for a good price anymore either. I've got a good stack of them, but now I'm instead of spending $1 a piece like you used to be able to purchase them for in like decent shape, the dollar ones are in pretty rough shape, like waterlogged or torn and wrecked. Yeah. And
they've jumped up in price.
I'm spending between $4 and $6 for like, you know, like a V copy.
I've got a healthy stack of those as well. Some of them are from when I was a kid, because for some reason that format really appealed to me and I got a lot of them.
It was 100 pages and you get multiple stories and you could buy them pretty cheaply. I mean, I think at the time they were 99 cents.
But that is one format that I cannot reread now.
Yeah, you're right. They're tiny.
Marty had to get, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble. Marty had to get his reading glasses when we went inside the store.
Did the one store that we were going to like dig a lot. These are my computer / reading glasses. So I wear these whenever I'm doing anything close up, like fixing computers and stuff or reading. So I had these with me because the last time I did shopping, I had my distance and dashboard glasses on. And I had a headache after digging in the shore boxes. So this time I'm like, you know, I can see far enough away with these on that I'm okay. But it's going to save me when I'm actually sitting there going. So, yeah, I threw these on. A good thing, too. My goodness, this is a pile.
Oh, I just noticed one of the books I got, Snowman 1944, has a certificate of authenticity in the back.
I don't even know what that is. Snowman 1944.
From who's the COA from? Is it signed? Like the comic, is it signed? Or
the comic is signed by Matt Martin.
Okay, so it's probably just from the comic company themselves.
Yeah, which, and it's limited to, they could only afford to get 1,000 copies made.
They had to spend some money on designing that certificate of authenticity and printing it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's just a guy. There's like Nazi tanks on it, and I was like, "Oh, cool! Kill them all!" And then, yeah, I think I bought a Snowman book from Gilpin because I can't remember why, but yeah, it's just some random like $2 book. I was like, "Cool," but numbers, I guess.
Because it has Nazi tanks on it?
No, I don't like the Nazis. Nazis are bad.
No, I mean World War II stuff. You like World War II stuff?
Everyone loves World War II.
I'm a sucker for a war comic.
Yeah. Oh. Have you guys read Uber? I'm assuming you've read Uber.
I've seen a few issues, but I haven't read it.
I've read it all. It's so good.
I was going to read Peter Panzerfrost, but I didn't. Or however you pronounce it. It's like Peter Pan with tanks.
Panzerfaust.
Yeah.
Das ist ein Panzerfaust.
I got a copy. I haven't read it yet. Ed gave it to me because he did the lettering on it. So he had a couple of copies of it. Anyways, he had a couple of copies of it for some reason, gave it to me. And I intended to read it. I have not read it yet. So I don't know if it's any good. But apparently it had an option a while ago for a series.
Oh,
and right so the first issue had jumped up in price for a while.
I got an item in the mail. And okay. I don't know why. I just absolutely love this. I just loved it so much. So I ended up getting a Fan Expo graded Star Wars number one sketch cover when Marvel got back into Star Wars business. So it's a sketch. It's half color, half black. Salvador LaRocque art, who I remember very fondly from X-Men. Graded 9.8 Fan Expo special edition. Perfect condition. I can't remember what these were selling for at Fan Expo, the comic, and then the grading, everything, $60 delivered Canadian to my door.
Wow, that's cheap.
I don't know why. I just love buying CGC books where I know somebody's taking a bit of a bath. Yeah. It's like a cruel, evil, just like there's no way this comic cost them $60 Canadian to originally purchase, to send to CGC to get graded, to sell on eBay, to mail to me, PayPal fees, eBay fees. There's just no way.
Here's what I know about the Fan Expo stuff. The basic, the popular high print run covers are at minimum $10.
Yeah.
So once you get into sketch variants and that sort of thing, you're usually into the $20 to $50 range. So even if it's $20, it still costs them $40 to send to get the to get it CGC plus your mailing, right?
And today with PayPal fees and eBay fees, like just giving it to you like Will Smith, I mean, it's expensive.
I lost 16%, just over 16% on a book.
Yeah.
I sold it for $130 and $20 in shipping. So they took their fee off of it. I did the math. It was just over 16%. And I still had to cover the shipping off of that. So I got $125.99 and then I had to ship it for like another $18. So I made like just under $2 on the shipping, which is nothing. So I didn't, you know, normally if it was much more than that, I would probably issue a a refund to the buyer for the, an X amount, like $5 or $6 difference. Definitely. I'm issuing him a refund.
Yeah.
$2. I usually just say, well, I'm eating that on another bully carry. Yeah. He knows that he's paying $20.
I pay for the packaging.
Yeah. I mean, packaging, driving to the post office, but you know, like that's a big fee. Like when I looked at the fees, it's like 12 something, which, you know, I understand it's 12 something, but then they tax you on their fee and they tax you on the fee that they take out. Like, I don't know how they compound it, but it was just over 16%
that they took
off of my sale. And I was,
yeah.
And then if you use PayPal as the transaction, PayPal hits you with, what is it? 2% or
three and a half.
Yeah. It's adds like up. Fee.
Yeah.
It adds up.
My bank account because of that. I was like, fine here.
Yeah, I got a
couple. Don't tell Revenue Canada.
I got a couple of omnibuses I gotta sell on eBay because they're going for like $300, but I just haven't attached a bank account to my thing. And I used to sell it on eBay.com so I could list it in U.S. dollars. Now you can't unless you fill in the U.S. tax stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh gosh, you guys are just making this really complicated. So
yeah, I sell on Canada site just because of that. There's just no point getting into the complicated stuff. And then I don't think I'd see any benefit from it.
I'm pretty sure I'm just going to get a table at a flea market or a table at one of David Wildstar's comic conventions. I think he's got one coming up in Bowmanville, and just get a table, throw it all on the table. And like, hey, if I'm going to lose 16% on this anyways, you know, just take it. Just take it.
Yeah.
What else came in? Oh, one thing I got to gush about just a little bit, because I'm a small fish in a small pond. I'm just enthusiastic about comic books and I try to make friends. I'm not an influencer of any kind, not a VIP. I just like reading comic books and I like spreading them. And in my local comic shop, there's no way I'm the biggest purchaser of comics there's just no way, but for whatever reason, you know, sometimes I end up getting VIP treatment even though I don't necessarily deserve VIP treatment. At least I don't think I do. But Sean ended up arranging and getting for me the George Perez Justice League of America Avengers trade paperback that was heavily allocated.
Yeah,
heavily thing for cover price.
They printed 7,000, right?
7,000 of them. Oh. They're going for like 200 some odd bucks on eBay. He got me one. I asked him, like, I'm the guy who asked first and even said that there was anything about this, and saying, you know, hey, if you got to order like five for me and all five show up, I'll pay for all five. But I think it'll get allocated and you'll order five and I'll get. I had no idea you got to order 200 to get one or something like that, or whatever the fees were. I think what they probably did though, is they did allocate at least one for every comic shop that put in an order. And then the rest was based on volume. So mine came in and he's like, yeah, I got it for you. And it's for cover. So huge, huge thank you to Sean at Grey Guardian for that. I intend to read the snot out of it. This is not going up for resale. I didn't read it when it first came out. So I'm all excited to get that. But
Oh yeah. You never read it before?
Nope. No, never read it.
It's so good.
And back issues are, you know, flying up in price, and previous print runs of the trade and the hardcover are crazy in price and stuff. So that's one of the reasons why this one is in such high demand, the low print run. And can you imagine the lawyer nonsense that went through to get this thing reprinted? Climbing up the Warner Brothers /AT&T and climbing up the Disney ladder to get this going and to get this printed off. Like, there's no way that, unless they had done it like they did as part of a charity for the Hero Initiative, I just don't think it would have gone through. There's no way. There's just too many people saying, where's my percentage? Where's my cut? Where's my where's my profit margin on this? And it's like, oh my gosh. It's just a miraculous thing that it got reprinted in the first place these days with these huge corporations owning the AIPs. So yeah, huge thank you to Sean for that.
I heard they might do a second print, like a larger print run of them, but I don't know if it's actually going to happen.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, the print run was low so that they could get it and actually have a physical copy that they could show George Perez before.
You know, that was the concern.
Before poor George leaves this mortar coil. But then I heard other people saying, no, that's not true at all. This is all completely because of the legalities of it all and the licensing and Disney, you know, like doesn't want to give Warner Brothers money and Warner Brothers doesn't want to give Disney money. And they had to do it as part of a charity. And the 7,000 was like, what was the agreed upon print run for a charity run of the, So I don't know. I do hope, like, there's obviously demand for this. So I do hope it gets reprinted, you know?
And yeah.
I'd love a hardcover copy, nice deluxe hardcover on the bookshelf. But in the meantime, this will be good to read.
Yeah, I asked for a copy too, and never got it. That's how limited they were.
Yeah,
that was before the hype. I saw it come up in an article, and then I asked for one, and then all of a sudden I was looking, and people are like, already like pre-orders on it. People were selling pre-orders on eBay for like, I don't know what it was, $100.
Yeah,
like have the book. You don't even know if you're going to get the book.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, what do? Refund the guy's money if you don't end up getting a copy?
Yeah.
And get negative feedback.
Yeah. Now, I didn't ask Sean how many copies he actually eventually got for the store, whether it was just the one or he got a pair or he got three, but I know it wasn't a high number. And I heard some rumor that there was one store that ordered 200 copies and they got 10.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's accurate numbers because I didn't talk to that particular reseller or... But it's somewhere in that range, you know. It was somewhere in that range as far as. So I got that. That's going to be fun to read.
Yeah, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah. What else? Oh, I got stacks of books that we actually got in the store. Blair on the cover of Booster Gold.
Oh yeah.
Me and Adam got a giggle out of that since we were both readers of G4. I got a copy of a Star Wars issue I was missing for $8. You know, $8. It's insane what the prices of Star Wars comics are right now, but it was still all right. And an old Adventure Comics Legion of Superheroes 12-cent book for $7. Bucks. That was pretty good. Angel and the Ape 12-cent book that I was missing, picked that one up. And an old Aquaman, what issue is that, Aquaman 49 that I was missing. So those are the books I kind of paid a premium for retail.
Didn't Ape from Angel and the Ape just show up in a Rogue book? One of the
it's
Rogue
possible.
Books? Just like last week, I think there was a Rogues issue that came out with him in it.
It's very possible. But I'm it's a series that I'm slowly trying to get, but not really spending a lot of time and effort. I think I got like four issues. So we'll see how that goes. But then on a lark, there was a store in Belleville, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 7 years ago, I can't remember, I'm too old, that it was a pawn shop, and they had bought out, or somebody had pawned a comic shop. So they got into a few collectibles, and they had a bunch of comics, and there was just in the back on a whole bunch of folding tables, they had these comics and all along the floor and on the wall and stuff. And we just go in, I think it was me and Chris Gilpin, and it was like $1 a book or something like this. And some of them were in, you know, shitty shape, but some of them were okay. We bought a bunch. So I said to Adam, like, you know, I don't know what this store is like. I haven't been here in forever. Do you want to stop in, just see what's there? And so sure enough, we stop in. It's been completely redone as a video game and action figure store. So there's all sorts of video game products, old games. I think that's where Adam saw the $800 joystick. They had some G.I. Joe figures, some Star Wars figures, and tucked away in the back, they had a couple of folding tables that were just heaving. Like, these tables were barely, there's no way they could have supported another comic book. Everything in the bin, $3. All right. So let's start digging through. Let's see what we find. Well, you know, Marty finds Adventure Comics, Dollar Comics. So what's that? Adventure 466, $3 each. Keep digging. Keep digging. I'm trying to get Infinity Inc. because I never read Infinity Inc. and it hasn't really been reprinted. So I found, 14 issues of Infinity Inc. that I was missing.
And the first one.
$3 each. Yeah, number one is in there. I grabbed a second copy of number one just because it was there. I don't remember what condition mine's in. And we're digging. And Adam's like, there's some comics down here you might want to take a look at. So I'm digging, and I found a few dollar issue of World's Finest, another series that I'm trying to get, right? A couple of those. And I'm like, yeah, cool. And Adam's like, no, keep digging. I'm like, what? 30-cent issues of World's Finest for $3 a piece. Keep digging, he says. I'm digging. 20-cent cover copies of World's Finest. I got a stack of World's Finest issues. I don't even know if I need these, but what's that? Like 4-inch stack of World's Finest?
Not only, below average from what I've heard.
That's true.
And not only that, like the 60-cent 100-pager issues, the square-bound, hard-to-find 100-pager issues. I got 4 of those for $3 each. It was nuts. We just went nuts.
They did not care what they had.
They had no
idea. Unless it was Marvel, right?
Yeah, most of the Marvel keys were pulled out, but we found 20-cent, 25-cent, 30-cent, 40-cent Thors, Captain America's, Fantastic Fours.
Yeah.
Now, I just sold all that stuff in October. Otherwise, I would have been like filling holes like crazy. And then I found a whack of Bronze Age Batman comics. Detective, Batman, I think that's a big issue. What is this? 370? I'm not sure. First appearance of somebody or something happened in that issue. $3. Batman Family, $3. Like, it was just $3. So I got a stack of Batman comics for $3.
Nice.
And Adam picked up a few books. I'll let him tell you what he got. But while I was digging, I also found Super Team Family. So I got a bunch of Super Team Families. Now, I got this pile mixed up. The other thing I found, which I thought was really cool, was a bunch of DC Superstars. So it says Star Hunters on the cover, but it's actually, the title is DC Superstars. So yeah,
they had a Pricey Zatanna one, and I think first appearance of Huntress, right?
So I remember loving the Star Hunter series when I was a kid, and I recollected the Star Hunter series, but I haven't reread it. So I saw the DC Superstars, so I had to get that. And then it's like, oh, but do you have DC Superstars Man Behind the Gun? I'm like, no, I don't have that. I'll take that for 3 cents. How about DC Superstars of Space? Oh, that's I don't have that. I'll grab that one. DC Special presents Earth-Shaking Stories. DC Special Wanted. DC Special The Viking Prince. DC Special Three Musketeers and Robin Hood. And DC Special Superheroes War Against the Monsters. $3 each. These are like, I don't know, what year was this? 78? 77? 50-cent, 100-page special, square bound. I just went nuts. I feel like
the other two older gentlemen that were around us didn't get on the floor to see what was in the floor boxes.
I went nuts.
Like, listen, Adam, when you get to a certain age, getting down on the floor and getting back up off the floor are very different things. They're very difficult to get back up.
The one guy got down and he whined and complained. And then I got down and then I was like, oh, I can't get back up. And I literally looked at the one guy that whined. I'm like, it's time to sell the collection when you can't stand up after like digging in the bins.
Yeah.
But all sorts of cool 35-cent Batman issues. You know, it's just 50-cent Batman issues. Oh, $3 each. And they're in really nice shape. Like, they're not 9.8s, but they're in nice shape. So I was excited.
That was a store that if I was still collecting the Uncanny X-Men, they had a great run.
Huge amount of Uncanny X-Men. Like, all the keys were pulled.
Yeah.
But they had all of them. Like, they had the Leonardi issues. They had the Mark Silvestri issues. It was just a ton. It was just a metric poop ton of comics there.
I think the two books that I grabbed, I grabbed more. I can't remember because the stack's all mixed up. I grabbed, let's see, Star Reach number 3.
And that's the original Star Reach series. That's not like the Star Reach reprints.
And then Star Reach number 2. So I already had number 2, but I was like, I might as well grab another one. I don't know what mine looks like. And then I got Safe Sex number 1. And then
it's the best. Everywhere we went, do you have a box of adult comics somewhere?
The one guy says, like, I think I do in the back. And then he didn't have them. He's like, I got 4 boxes at home. I'm like, nice. Yeah, I got an Unsacred number 1, Sweet Paprika number 1 and 2.
Now, was that at the other store, right?
Yes. Oh, and that at the mall store. And then for $15, the most expensive book I paid for was La Blue Girl number 3. Which anyone who knows what La Blue Girl is, it says absolutely not for children on the cover of the comic.
Absolutely not for children.
I am not familiar. I've heard of Sweet Paprika, and I've read a little bit of an issue of Unsacred, but that's my limit of those ones.
Yeah, this one is I showed Marty the VHS cover of one of the movies of La Blue Girl, and very adult. It was $15, and I pulled up eBay. I'm like, Marty, look, 3 issues, different issues, $125 they want for it, and that's how much they go for. And the publisher is Bear Press.
Well, we got about a minute left here, guys. Oh. But yeah, okay. I mean, it was so funny to watch Adam. Hey, do you got any like booby books?
No, I said, do you have any adult comics? He's like, what do you say? Like Sunstone is the one? He's like that. I'm like, Sunstone. No. I'm looking for like porn comics.
Sunstone's pornish. It's a BDSM type, but well, just yeah, straight.
He's asking like some of the newer stuff. I'm like, no, I want like erotic comics. You have any of that? He's just like, oh, I might. And I'm like, sweet.
So yeah, overall it was a pretty successful little safari, little trip heading out east instead of the normal west. So it was good. Cool. It was good. But unfortunately, that's it for this week. We're gonna have to hold off there, and maybe once we get into and start begging and boarding and reading some of this stuff, we'll get into some commentary on that. Other than that, we will see you guys next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. HeyKidsComics.ca. See you later.
See ya.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
Can you do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.